Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today.
If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 1, we'll read verse 5 and then pick it up at verse 8. And these should be familiar verses by now. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. "And there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah, of the course of Abia, and his wife of the daughters of Aaron." Verse 8. "And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without or outside at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Heavenly Father, help us as we study the Word of God. Give us understanding and show us Jesus Christ. And we thank you and praise you in that wonderful name. Amen. Now, I want to make a comment. I'm going to chase a few rabbits this week and probably next week. And I chase rabbits, or go off on a tangent, let's say, because the text leads me to do so. Now, I could just read it straight. I could. But I don't think we'd get very much. So when I go off topic, it's for a reason. And I've done this pretty much for all the years that I've been preaching. I go where the text leads me to go. Now, it says, and today we're going to talk about it, that Zechariah, he was a priest, and it says in verse 5 that he was of the course of Abia. Well, what's a course? Well, we go to the golf course, I guess. We'll play a round of golf. I mean, you guys can. I can't stand golf, but you get the idea. Well, that could be what it means. But this word course refers to the fact that every so often, let's say it's in May or October or whatever, each priest was given his time during the year. He might have had other duties, but priests, they worked in the temple. They did so by course. One group of guys would come in May, the next group of guys would come in June, etc. Or however it worked out. But they served by course, or by appointed turns, or whatever. But it mentions this again in verse 8, that it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. According to the custom of the priest's office, what have you. But it says he was the course of Abiah. I don't know who Abiah was. I guess I could look it up. I don't know. But under the authority of Abiah, maybe he was the high priest, or maybe he was appointed to be over such and so priest, or whatever it was. But this language tends to say that it was all ordered and figured out beforehand who would do what, when. And to carry this idea of things timed out, it says that the whole multitude were praying without or outside because only the priests could go into the holy place. And then once a year, the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place, again by course. And again, only those who were appointed to do so. You couldn't have somebody that wasn't a priest go behind the veil because he would be dragged out and executed or whatever the case. Thrown out, however, beaten, whatever the case. Only priests could go there. There were the Levites, and they had a job which had to do in the courtyard. But only a Levite could do a Levite's job. You couldn't get people that weren't Levites to assist or to work or whatever. Again, it was limited to those people. So, let's chase a rabbit. In Ezra, the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 6, and I've taught on this, but I won't read the whole thing. It says that Darius the king of Persia, made a decree. And there was this big deal that went on, but in the end, they found that King Cyrus, a previous king, he had said, "Hey, we're going to send the Jews back. We understand that they were carried away captive to Babylon." Babylon is in Iraq, modern-day Iraq. The Jews were carried away captive because they insisted on worshiping other gods. Our God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one that delivered them from Egyptian bondage. We know the story of Exodus, Moses, and the whole nine yards. We know that story. We've seen the movie. We read it in the Bible, maybe heard about it in Sunday school. We know that story. God says, "Hey, you're not supposed to have no other gods but me. Don't make statues of other gods. Don't serve them. Don't bow down to them yet." Every time God turned his back, they were on some hill, underneath some tree, carving an idol, and then sacrificing to it. They loved the gods, the pagan gods of the nations that were around them. They couldn't help themselves. They were spiritual adulterers. We understand what adultery is when you go with somebody that's not your wife. Well, they went with a god that wasn't their god again and again and again. And because of that and rebellion, when the prophets came, like Jeremiah, for instance, they said, "Hey, y'all shouldn't do that." And they said, "Oh, yeah? Watch us." And they persecuted the prophets, stoned the prophets, killed them. Threw him in a well, Jeremiah's case. And because of that habitual rebellion over hundreds and hundreds of years, God got fed up and threw them out. "Hey, this is the promised land, but hey, guess what? You're thrown out." 70 years were decreed, and when the 70 years were up, God called Cyrus, the Persian king, and anointed him. It says, it's a strange idea that God would anoint a pagan, yet God called that man. In fact, called his name about 150 years before. Hey, Cyrus is going to set you free. And we can read in Ezra and perhaps other places. And if you're going to read Ezra, by all means read Nehemiah. But the king said, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to send you back to restore and to build the tabernacle and to set up the worship, to sanctify the whole thing, to set it all up, to make sure that priests are properly ordained, we would say, or purified and anointed and what have you. And they were sent to set up the temple worship again. Again, you can read all of that here in Ezra chapter 6 and perhaps other places. And by the time we get to our text in Luke, everything that they had set up again when they were sent back to the nation of Israel and back into their own land, they knew what to do. They knew that they were supposed to go in their course and what have you. Okay, that's one rabbit chased. Maybe we can find another. So, getting back to our text in Luke chapter 1. It says, the angel appeared while he was in the holy place, and he was there alone. And the angel appears, and I guess we talked about that a little bit last week. But the angel says, hey, y'all been trying to have a kid. Guess what? You're going to have a kid. You're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name John. And in verse 14, it says, you'll have joy and gladness. You're going to rejoice because, hey, we got a son. And by the way, many others shall rejoice at the birth of your son, because his son was John the Baptist, who preached at the River Jordan, and many gladly heard him, and they repented and were baptized. And they, as Malachi said, and perhaps other places, they returned in their hearts to the Lord. And you can read Nehemiah, how the people, okay, we set this worship back up after we came back from Babylon, but then they compromised, and they were lazy, and this and that, and they were corrupt. If you remember our sermons in Malachi, 1st and 2nd chapter, and Nehemiah had to kick out lazy and corrupt priests and what have you. He did a bunch of stuff. You see, God, he gives the word of God. He gives the Bible. He gives a message from a prophet or what have you in every generation. And some receive, and that's good. But then time passes and the experience fades. And maybe the priesthood is set up, and that's good for a while, but then you read Malachi 1 and 2, and you see that they are taking money, taking bribes, what have you. And though it's a great thing, the temple of God, it becomes profane. Okay, that was a long time ago. We have denominations now, and denominations may have started out great, but as time passes, those guys that had the right vision, they died or retired or forgotten about or pushed aside or whatever. And people that say, hey, we can run a denomination, they get in power or are put in charge or whatever. And the whole reason for the beginning of the denomination, it's forgotten about. And then the wheels of religion, they begin to turn. And men in too many denominations, they spend their time making sure that the denomination functions properly. If there's a squeaky wheel, they go grease it or whatever. They make sure that, well, we need to have some, that guy died, we need to replace him, whatever, or this or that, or the big bishop's coming and we got to look good, or whatever the case. And, oh, he's talking about my denomination. Well, I'm talking about all denominations because they all degenerate over time. And they become just religions, just denominations, and not a light for the gospel. By and large, or in a generalized fashion, the remarks I just made apply to most denominations. If it doesn't apply to yours, I'm glad. Believe me, I thank God. But over and over again in the history of, since the Reformation, I suppose, denominations are started and then they decay. And then if you read the Old Testament, in Judges and whatever, the people would hear the word of God, they would get their act together, they would get their hearts right, 10-20 years pass, and they forgot. And God has to send another judge, he has to send another prophet. And I guess God is happy doing that, but at some point he gets tired, I suppose. But this angel appears, says, hey, John, you're going to have a son. Everybody's going to be happy about it. He's going to do like it says in Malachi and turn Israel back to the Lord to get their hearts right, to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. And as we read the book of Luke, what have you, Matthew chapter 3, what have you, we see him doing those things. Just as Malachi said, and as this angel confirms. But in verse 18, and we'll start this, I'll have to finish it next week. The angel says, hey, you're going to have a son. Hey, you remember Malachi? Well, this is it. This is the fulfillment of it. Things are going to be great. And Zechariah, he said, hey, angel, how do I know this is true? Or whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man. I mean, I know you promised that we'd have a kid. And my wife, she's pretty old too. And again, we looked at Abraham and Sarah. We looked at Hannah. And we said that what happens here in Luke 1, we have the pattern of it already. But the angel said, hey, I'm the angel Gabriel. And I stand in the presence of God. God sent me to talk to you. God sent me to show you these glad tidings, it says. But you don't believe. Why is that? And behold, thou shalt be dumb or unable to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because you believed not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So get this. Zechariah, he's in the temple, he's in the holy place, when he's supposed to be doing what he's supposed to do, an angel surprises him and says, hey, you're going to have a son, and oh, he's like Elijah, etc. And the priest says, well, I don't know if I believe. It's a sad commentary, perhaps. And we'll pick it up here next week.
I tell you, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God showed Noah the rainbow sign. It won't be water, but by the next time. Way back in the Bible days, Noah told the people it's gonna rain. But when he told them, they paid him no mind. And when it happened, they were left behind. I'll tell you, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. God showed Noah the rainbow sign. It won't be water, but by the next time. Listen, they tell me when the water began to pour, they knocked on the window, they knocked on the door. They didn't know exactly what to do. You don't. It's gonna rain, Lord, you better get ready and bear this in mind. God showed Noah the rainbow sign. It won't be water, but by the next time. Listen, Noah said, I'm sorry, my friend. God's got the key, you can't get in. If something don't happen, hearts of men, the same thing is gonna happen again. I tell you, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. Don't you better get ready and bear this in mind. God showed Noah the rainbow sign. It won't be water, but by the next time. This Noah told the people in plenty of time, but they were too sinful and they were too blind. And when it came that awful day, they tried to pray, but their prayer was too late. I tell you, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. Lord, you better get ready and bear this in mind. God showed Noah the rainbow sign. It won't be water, but by the next time. It won't be water, but by the next time. It won't be water, but by the next time.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's joeykelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.